This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the confessions of a pink-haired marketer. For those who don't know me yet, I'm a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. And today we're going to talk about action, and more specifically, calls to action. Now, this is a copywriting term. You may have come across it before. If you've studied persuasive writing at all, you have. And in a copywriting context, a call to action is a clear statement, a clear command of what you want the audience to do next. And so the easiest place to look for examples is the infomercial. You know, call this 1-800 number to order now, or visit this website to order now. That's a call to action. It's a specific instruction about what to do next, and it has an important persuasive role, because if you do not tell people exactly what to do, then over, you know, the many years that persuasion has been studied, we've found that people won't do it. And that's why radio ads, infomercials, direct mail pieces, they sound kind of pushy. It's because it's actually been quite well demonstrated that that very clear, almost too clear in a way, instruction about what to do next is in fact what works to get people to take the desired action. So in a content marketing context, your content creates the context for the sale. So it gets people to start paying attention to you because, you know, they're interested in the content. They might have seen it on social media or, you know, on a Google search, or you may have created some advertising to get to it. So you're getting the attention, and then you're cultivating that environment where people get to know who you are. They get to know why you matter to them. And specifically, that means how you help with their issue. They start to trust you, and then there is an environment in which they have enough information to make an informed choice to move forward with your product, your service, what have you. The call to action is then a specific, clear, and precise statement of what they should do next. It sets the expectations. Very often in a good call to action, a professionally written call to action, you will see that the writer will actually let you know what's going to happen next. For example, you'll see this on if you're in the U.S., the public radio, you know, the pitches that they have to go ahead and get signed up for public radio, they'll tell you exactly how long you'll be on the phone with the person, or exactly how much time it takes on the website to get signed up, what you can expect, what benefits you'll get out of it. So that is a part of a good call to action, is setting the expectations. Do this, and then this is what you can expect to have happen when you've done it. So the content leads the horse to water, and then the call to action tells the horse, drink here. Today, I'm going to get into the call to action in a little more depth. And because it's a very simple copywriting concept, there are lots of articles written about it. I've written a couple of them. It's quite a simple concept. And in fact, if you are perhaps not a professional copywriter yet, but you would like to be, or you are writing for an organization, but you've never had that formal persuasive writing training, this is probably the easiest thing you can do to make your writing more persuasive, is just to put a very unambiguous call to action where you want people to go forward and do something. It is kind of a cornerstone, and it's a nice one because it's very easy to do. It takes you 1 minute, you've already learned the concept, and it takes you another minute to execute. It's very different from trying to craft great headlines, which is more of an art. It takes a lot of practice. You, even after you're good at it, you usually want to come up with 10 or 20 or 40 before you get that one that really works. The call to action, on the other hand, is simple. It's easy to implement. But today I want to talk about it in a larger context of understanding why you're doing what you're doing in your communication. What is your goal? What are you trying to get people to do next? And that is the hard part of the call to action. It's not the execution, which is very simple. It's the thinking behind the execution. And it's probably easiest to see this in the world of the nonprofit organization or the political change organization. But you also do see it with companies. You do see it with more traditional organizations, which is that we get so obsessed with awareness and we get so obsessed with attention. We get so involved in getting people to see that we're there and understand the problem, understand the political problem, the charitable problem. We get so interested in what people know about us that we forget to ask them to do something. And you see this on a micro level of your hairdresser just isn't really thinking very clearly about asking you to go make a recommendation on Yelp or a recommendation for your local city's, you know, top hairdressers in Denver, whatever it might be. And you see it on a large level. Political organizations spend all of their time, all of their volunteers' energy, and in some cases, quite a bit of money raising awareness for the problem. But there's nothing to do with that awareness. Everybody walks away with an emotional state change. They walk away feeling fired up, but they don't have anything to use that fire on. So I want to read you a quote from Daniel Hunter in a book he wrote called Building a Movement to End the New Jim Crow. It's an organization guide. It's a guide for groups that want to create political change on specifically nuts and bolts of how to do that. And it was a really interesting read. It's also actually a rather interesting marketing read because any kind of marketing, whether it's a political marketing, product marketing, nonprofit charity promotion, you're trying to persuade somebody to take some form of action. And the quote is this: groups often squander precious energy on a series of endless educational events or support groups that don't seem to add up to anything. In contrast, campaigns channel group power by focusing on one concrete goal. Rather than focusing on the problems of society, campaigns identify a piece of what we want and work toward achieving it. So I thought that was very valuable, his conversation about the campaign. Now, in his case, he's talking about a campaign, for example, to get a certain law repealed that the group feels is unjust and is not serving society as a whole. It's a campaign, right? But if you think about that for what you do, if you think about that for your organization, your environment, your personal, your job, right? Your career. If you think about campaigns, rather than thinking about content, or rather than thinking about a blog post or an email message or a social media post, think about the campaign. You have to go back and think about what is the specific behavior that I would like to motivate. So, for example, I would like to motivate small, enlightened tech startups to consider me for a position as a content manager. That might be a campaign that you are on in your professional life, in your career. Or I would like the people that I know to support the repeal of a local ordinance that I think is not a good law. It's not just, it's not right, and it's not helping our community. And I think that it should be overturned. That's a campaign. Or I want our customers to sign up for a new educational program that we're offering that's going to help them to become better parents and better friends and better spouses by expanding their awareness of their own issues. And it's a meditation course, and it takes 6 weeks, and it's going to make them a better person by improving their relationships. It's a campaign. If you think about campaigns in your persuasive work, whatever it is in your life, personal life or professional life, that you are trying to make happen, you can start to craft the right kinds of content and specifically the right kinds of calls to action to get people to do the thing. And in a funny way, I feel like that's what we're here to do. We're here to communicate with our brothers and sisters on this planet and help them to do more good stuff and do less bad stuff. And of course, the tricky part comes because we all define that differently. But that's also where the good part comes. That's why we have such a diverse, wonderful, amazing planet to live on. And if I can give a bit of encouragement here, I want to stress that very often in this life, as persuaders, as marketers, as writers, as content creators, we're a little shy about asking for what we want. And we have this feeling that we should be able to paint the picture so clearly that the audience will know what the next step is, that the audience will be moved to go do something differently. The audience will be moved to go, write a letter to the mayor or vote in a certain way or support a particular political party or purchase our product. That is sort of the mark of the amateur marketer, if I can say that without sounding condescending. But people who have a tremendous amount of talent and a tremendous amount of ability who could be making great things happen are afraid to ask for what they want. And, you know, I found this in my own life in a funny way. People who I work with regularly. So I'm the kind of person that once I find a hairdresser that I like, or, you know, somebody to do my nails, I will stick with that person until that person quits their job. You know, I will stick with that person. So I've had the same hairdresser since before my son was born, and he just turned 10. And I have a lady who I go for a massage regularly. Once or twice a month, I try and get a massage, keep my brain in decent shape. And it's funny because these professionals, you know, the woman who does my massages is probably the one I feel most close to, perhaps because that's a very intimate kind of a relationship, but also because she's just really good at what she does. And every year, all of my service people who, you know, take care of me and keep me going, will ask me for these things. They will ask me to vote for them in the city. You know, our local free newspaper has a collection of the best restaurant in Denver, the best massage therapist, the best nail technician, the best hairdresser. And my hairdresser always remembers to ask me, and I always do it because I like her and because why not? Why wouldn't I want to help her out? And my massage therapist never does. She doesn't ask, I think, because she feels it would be intrusive or it would be infringing on our relationship. But in fact, it would be wonderful for our relationship because it would give me a chance to give back to her for all the wonderful things that she's done for me. So I usually do it, but I have to remember to do it. And the funny thing is, the person who reminds me to do it is the hairdresser, who I like, but I don't love as much as I love this other person. And most people aren't going to do it. You know, most people, even if they want to, even if they have every intention to, they won't do it without that very clear and specific reminder to get out and do the thing that would help you. So first thing I want to do is just encourage you to adopt that mindset of asking for what it is that you need. Ask at the end of your podcast. Ask at the end of your blog post. Ask in your social media post. Let people know what they can do next if they're on the same page. If they are in alignment with you, if what you say is resonating with them, give them something to do next. It'll help you, it'll help them, and it'll help the world that you want to live in by just being very specific and clear with people about what they can do next. And I'm hoping that many of you, maybe even most of you, if you are in a for-profit organization, a company, you are in some way promoting a product or a service. And, you know, even if you're not in marketing, you are marketing what your company does, because everything that a company does and everything that a company interacts, every way they interact with customers, everything from the way that their drivers drive on the street if they're in a vehicle that's marked with a company name, to how you pick up the phone, how you deal with vendors, how you package up the product in a box, communicate something to customers. And it's either communicating something positive or it's communicating something not so positive. So all of us virtually are in marketing. And even if your professional life has nothing to do with marketing, you are totally invisible to your organization's customers. You're marketing on Facebook when you share a post, when something makes you angry or outraged or happy, or there's something that you share that's a wonderful story. There's a part of you that wants to see a world that's a little bit better than the world you came into. And so my call to action to you is really think about that. Think about what's going on with your company, with your personal life. What would you like to see on this planet get a little bit better in the way that you define it? So you guys could probably guess, you know, some of my definitions, but this isn't about my definitions. This is about your definitions and leading your life the way you think you should. So my call to action to you is think about in your life, personal life, professional life, what would benefit humans, solve a problem, or make something better? And it doesn't have to be something quote unquote noble. You don't have to be solving world poverty. I mean, that's awesome if that's what turns you on, but I want you to do something that turns you on. So it could be a local playground. It could be an arts organization. It could be something. It doesn't have to be something that, you know, is very high flown and noble. It could just be, you know, a beautiful new garden for your church. I don't know what it is. You know what it is. But if there's some little way that there could be a little corner of the world that might be a little more wonderful, think about some calls to action. And if you are in an organization where you are doing communication or marketing, think about a way that you can craft some calls to action to make something better, to make something a better place. Could be a charitable or political call to action, but it could also simply be something about encouraging your customers to take better care of themselves, to take care of their health or take care of their relationships. Something, of course, relevant to what your company does that makes life a little more wonderful. Not in a preachy way, but really just in a way that makes us all feel good about ourselves and about the world and each other. So if I can give you homework, and I don't normally give homework on this podcast, but think about your calls to action this week. Think about where you are pointing people. And if you do find yourself on social media, as we all do, expressing a lot of outrage, as we know, outrage is the methamphetamine of the web, right? It's cheap, it's toxic, it's readily available. If you find yourself sharing a lot of outrage, take some time, sit down and think about your campaign of one. If people are outraged about something, they're ready to take some action. What action should they take? Should they go write a letter? Should they, you know, vote for a certain candidate? Should they just let their elected officials know that they really don't support the way that things are now and they want to see change? They expect to see change. These kinds of things are small, but they do add up. So think about your calls to action this week. Make them clear. Make them explicit. And make them something that's going to make the world a little bit better. So that is my rant for today about calls to action. And of course, I would be remiss if I didn't have a call to action to you to go give this a star rating or a review on iTunes. That's always wonderful. I love when that happens. It helps me out quite a bit. If you want to leave a comment, a question, an idea for a future podcast, you can do that at pinkhairedmarketing.fm. And just find the latest episode and leave me a comment. And I would love to read your comment, reply to your comment. If you have questions you'd like to see answered in future podcasts, I'm all about that. Love that. And as you may know, the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer are brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. So you ready? This is the call to action. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform. And that's it for today. Thank you so much, and I will catch you soon. Take care.